from Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Reading from Romans 11, 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, October 25th, 2022. And that lovely, wonderful voice was Boniface Tulasi, originally from Togo, West Africa, currently living in New Mexico, residing for this past week or so in the greater Champaign-Urbana area. I think on Sunday preached at Twin City Bible Church. But I met up with him this past Saturday at the Finding Jesus in the High Priest's Garments, and we just touched base for a minute or two, and I thought, this guy has a story. Maybe I could have him a part of Testimony Tuesday, and I learned that he was going to be in all week. So we want to have you introduce yourself to our radio listening family. And as I mentioned, we're on 19 frequencies, so as I showed you the map, we cover a large part of central Illinois and west central Indiana. We have a lot of great listeners that appreciate Testimony Tuesday. So give us a little of your testimony, but introduce yourself to our radio listening family.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone listening. My name is Boniface Tulasi. I'm from Togo, West Africa, from between Nigeria and Ghana. You go from Nigeria, come to Benin, you come to Togo, you go to Ghana. And I was born in a typical African village. No electricity, no running water, no paved road. My father was a multiple wife's dad. That's how we grew up, without any knowledge of Jesus Christ until we became Christian. So I'm just here to share from where to where, from what to what, and what is today. That's all.
Praise God.
And not only didn't you grow up in a Christian home, but you were born and raised in a voodoo worship style.
Yes.
So maybe
yes.
Share what that means, what that looks like, because probably for most or many of our listeners, voodoo is something we've heard about, or we see people with those little dolls or something in pins, but we don't really know the tremendous impact or the frightening impact it has.
Yeah, thank you. To help anybody understand this, let's start with doctors or medical sciences. They will tell you that every disease or sickness is psychosomatic. Mm. It means that it happens in the psyche and translates into the body, which means that already we have an idea, a notion, an experience of two different worlds. Mm-hmm. And then when we go into philosophy, they say we have the world of ideas and the physical world. And the world of ideas is the prototype of the physical world. Then when we come into the spiritual realm, that's what we call by the spiritual world. The world we live in is a result of a different world. Mm. So those spiritual worlds have some living beings different from us. That's what we call spirits. Mm. So when somebody says, I am born in a voodoo worship, it means that there is a domestication or materialization or representation of a spirit that his forefathers or he himself met. What we call in churchdom theogony or theophany, something reveals itself to you that you have not seen before. It looks bizarre. It's not human. And then this spirit enters into contact with you. I want you to represent me. So it can take any form. The Bible says that you have voodoos that are in bird shapes, animal shapes, or anything, or aliens types of things. So when we are talking of voodoo, it's a homemade place for an evil spirit. An evil spirit that wants to be worshipped, that wants your obeisance. And those who are in New Orleans or you are in Haiti going, you can understand this very well. So when we talk of a voodoo doll is just not an amusement. What happens is I can take any material, even this cell phone, and I can call a spirit onto it. I can magnetize, I can transform the physical or the technical functionality of an element to host a spirit. So that's what we call voodoo, not just something we play with. And what you see is not the voodoo. What you see is the home of the voodoo. It's the spirit that lives in that home that you see, idol that you see, that we call voodoo. So you have the spiritual name, or what we call the eschatological name, before we have also the lay name. So that's what I would say describes what we call voodoo.
So you grow up practicing this. Now, you mentioned your father had multiple wives. We have a number of brothers and sisters. So describe your upbringing and then lead us into the point where you realize Jesus is Lord and Savior.
Yeah, thank you. So when I was born, maybe if you look on my face,
I have
10 scarifications. Mm-hmm. That is an identity to my tribal god. That is Python the snake. So when I was born, I was taught that Python the snake is my grandfather. I should pay obeisance to a snake python. When I see snake python, I have to stop. I would say, grandfather, how are you? And all those things. When I see somebody killing Python the snake, I have to defend it. When I see a dead python, I have to bury it normally, like we bury just genuinely any human being. So that's number one. Number two, everybody holds his own spirit. Every family has its own spirit. So you just see all that conglomerate of different spirits that you live in. It's a kingdom of terror, kingdom of fear. You don't know what is what. You don't know what will happen to you next. And anybody can just choose to destroy your life, to kill your life. So we have what we call the spirit of divination and the spirit of family. So the spirit of divination has power over the spirit of family. So the spirit of divination can invite, force, and trickish the spirit of family to bring your database, your life database, what God created you to be. Like Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 1:5, God has a plan for you. So they bring that in the on the table of the witches and witchcraft. So you have a triad, what we call evil triad. You have the voodoo priest, you have the witchcraft, and you have the person. So in those three, what we call evil triad, they talk among themselves. That's how they manipulate your future. So we grew up in that. And in addition to that, my father in his lifetime had 14 wives. I'm talking now, you can hear me from wherever you are. I have about 50 siblings, 50. So just imagine somebody who grew up without Christ, without the knowledge of the living God, and in such a population, what hope do you have for life? It's miserable. It's deplorable. We have no hope. So every day I just say, why are we born? So I didn't like my parents. I didn't like my mom. This is a problem you created for me. So that's how we were living. Everybody, you find your way out. If it works for you, you are afraid every time of everybody, anything. And one day I was invited in a church by a cripple. I didn't want to go, but if a cripple invited you to something and you refused, you might be a very wicked person. Yeah. So I went to the church just to please him. Maybe you are listening to this program now just for pleasure. Somebody told you, listen to it. But maybe today is your day. Why? I went to the church. They are talking, teaching on the tabernacle. They said, God, we built the voodoo temple the same way. So I was not impressed at all of what they were saying. And when I was making that mental gymnastics, kind of mocking the preacher, I just heard the preacher saying, if you have Jesus Christ, you don't need to be making sacrifices to any idol anymore. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice God has made for every generation, every tribe, every nation. I invite you today to come to Jesus Christ. When I heard that, it made sense to me. We make sacrifice to our gods. But there is a God who makes sacrifices for people who worship him. Christianity is economic. So quickly, I say, well, if I follow this God, then we will not be killing our chickens anymore. We will not be killing our animals anymore. So that's how I came to know Jesus Christ. And I was in 12th grade. So That was how I come to know God.
Marianne, I'm watching you being encouraged and identifying with many of his stories, because for some of our listeners may be unfamiliar that you and your parents were missionaries in Africa for a number of years. And I'm watching you kind of identify with many of the things that are being said. Mm-hmm. What are your overall thoughts? It's like been there, done that, and experienced that.
I don't know about done that, but been there, and he is telling the truth. Praise God for you.
So you're in this church and you're hearing the name of Jesus, and mm-hmm. many Christians would say there's power in that name when it's proclaimed. You're having an awakening in your mind and heart. Mm-hmm. Some would say God is wooing you. God mm-hmm. is breathing life into your mind mm-hmm. and heart so that you can mm-hmm. receive this message. Mm-hmm. So you're identifying with some of these concepts that mm-hmm. this Jesus is powerful, that he's Lord, he's to mm-hmm. be worshipped. Mm-hmm. How did it start becoming more personal, or where you understood his truth through reading the Bible? What happened?
Well, we have some Christians in the region, except that we thought they are also lost. Mm. Christians will tell non-believers that they are lost. But we voodoo people, we also say Christians are lost. Mm. So where is God? Who is he? We've never seen him. We want something visible. So for somebody to say there is a sacrifice, if you make that sacrifice, or if you endorse that sacrifice, and traditionally when you do a sacrifice, when the Bible says that Jesus was taken out of the stone, we do this, you do this, you put your two hands on the sacrifice animal, you bring it to your chest, which means that I accepted the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So to have a sacrifice that is dominant, that is the only one-time sacrifice, it makes sense. It clicks with our traditional religion. Mm-hmm. We don't need anything further to be convinced that, well, if there is a sacrifice above sacrifices, why not take this? So that's what happened to me.
So you started in this newfound faith of mm-hmm. following Jesus, recognizing him as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. What was the family's reaction, your siblings? What happened next?
Nice. That day, I went home and I told my mom, I give my life to Jesus Christ. Mm. She said, I hope that will work out for you. Mm. And a very good question that you ask. I grew up very angry against the society and anybody. I said, this cannot be the life we were meant to live. So when I heard something like that, the solution to the problems that we're having, even that day I told Jesus Christ, if you can help me, I want to bring as many people as possible out of the voodoo temple. But I had two problems. I was very afraid of dying, and I cannot believe that God forgives. So I struggle with the forgiveness of God. How can you say that God forgives? He's so pure. That was something happened to me. And I have to go through a lot of discipleship classes, mentorship, and things like that. To one day God gave me is Ephesians 4:28 or something. God forgave us mm-hmm. through Jesus Christ. When I heard that, I said, okay. Now the fear of dying, because in our culture you can die anytime. Somebody will just cast a spell against you. Somebody can just put a poison in your food. Somebody can put some black powder on the road for you, and that's you gone. So when we heard that Jesus overcame death, wow, beautiful story that fits very well our reality. Mm-hmm. And it take a while through prayers and Bible study, Bible reading, and coaching and discipleship to go over those things.
I'm glad you raised that, because there's probably a lot of listeners mm-hmm. that think that you just accept Jesus and then everything works out. Your checkbook balances, all your bills get paid, everything works right. You get along with all your family members. It tends to be a process. And then there's growth to learn to be a mm-hmm. disciple of Jesus, mm-hmm. to be an ambassador for God. Yeah. It's that sanctification process. Mm-hmm. And so that began happening. How did that look?
Yeah, so then many of my siblings already also gave their life to Jesus Christ. Mm. So what we did first, we met and we went to our father. We said, today we have come to inform you that we have given our life to Jesus Christ. Mm. So A, B, C, D, E, we will not be doing these things anymore. Fortunately for us, he understood. And something we also discover is you cannot tell my dad we are praying for you. When you use that sentence, he becomes very angry, aggressive. Mm. So we know there is a power in prayer. We know there is power in Jesus Christ. And by the way, my father has 14 levels of witchcraft sin. Mm. So when we see that, we see his reaction, definitely we know Jesus indeed is the power over all the powers. Mm. So that's how the things began. It's a process. It's a process. You go from a step to step. Sometimes you stumble. But you need some people to encourage you, some people that you trust that can tell you, well, it will be all right. Jesus, who began the great works, mm-hmm. will take it to completion. Just trust him. Don't quit. Don't backslide, just go ahead with him. So, and that year I graduated from high school. I went to university in Lomé, Togo, which was the only university we have then. That's how I met Campus Crusade. So they discipled me and all those kind of things, and then I ended up working with Campus Crusade in Togo. So that's where we got all those things from.
And then when did God bring Sarah Jane into your life?
Yeah, Sarah Jane, that's my wife. We are married 15 years and 1 month now. I was working.
Husbandry 101, Marianne. You know, not he only 15 years
one
and 1 month. So credit to you. Yes, very good.
Thank you. I was working for Jesus Film, which is part of Campus Crusade in Togo. I was the Jesus Film coordinator, giving leadership to the 8 teams that we have, showing Jesus Film. We call it a force. So a power, when you show, it's like a net. When you show the film, it draws a lot of fish, and you disciple them and all those things. But I was also in charge of external relationships. When you are coming, I'll go to the airport, to the border, your hotel, and all those things. And also in charge of translation. So every year or two, Sarah Jane Carkin, actually from Illinois, a professor down, she organizes a conference for all the Jesus Film coordinators in the Francophone Africa. Mm. So because I was the translator, I was in that conference to translate for her. But that's not the point. When I was in campus, I told my family that in my junior years, I would get married. Idea just came to me like that. And then I found a girl that I think I like, that I think is okay. And my brother said, no. Mm. So the first time I visited that girl, the night I came back, God gave me a vision in which the person was saying, the girl you met will never be your wife. Mm. Your wife will come from somewhere very far. You don't know her yet. Mm. She's fair complexion in the dream, and he didn't know it was a white. But specifically, God says, you meet this girl in Mali, Bamako. The day you meet this girl, she'll be in a blue dress. Guess what? When we met in Bamako, November 2015, I just had the flashback. I said, what? Anyway, that's how we started talking, Sarah and her
parents. And did she have the blue dress on?
Yes. Yes. You can call her and check that out.
Sure. Oh, wow.
So when we were serious about our relationship, she invited me to the U.S. I was not able to have the visa. So Sarah and the dad came to Togo to check on me, meet with family, sure. Campus Crusade, my church, go to my village. And Sarah stayed in Lomé for 3 months. So at the end of which we got engaged, and I came to the U.S. in July 2007 to just get married and go back home. Mm. But I'm still here.
Oh.
Yeah, so you've been living in New Mexico, but you're up into the greater Champaign-Urbana area recently preaching. But rumor has it you're going to be returning to Africa. So talk a little about that journey. And then if somebody, there's a stirring in their heart, they want to support you, they certainly want to pray for you, give us some contact information so they can get in touch with you. But you're going to be returning, so that's going to need some prayer.
Yes, thank you. I'm from an indigenous church. Christ is the same ministries. Why? This church was an experimental church of the biblical truth for colonial reasons. Many Africans, though church is growing in Africa, thousands of Africans still think that the Bible is a colonial instrument. So this founder said, if Jesus Christ is really the same, that's why I read Hebrews 13 verse 8. That's the name of my church. Is Jesus Christ a universal Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. We want to experiment that and see if it is true. Guess what? It is true. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is a universal message. So when he passed away, April 29, I have been his the closest guy to him. Mm-hmm. I've been the only young person who has been able to be with him. him. Mm-hmm. He knows the Bible, the Christology and everything. So he passed away and the board invited me to come back and take leadership. Mm-hmm. We already have our tickets. We ship everything to Togo already. November 29 will be on our way. So we are raising support, like you said. I thank you for saying that. You can call me on 407-590-8401. That is 407-590-8401. Or if you want to send me an email, you can call the radio. They will give you my email.
Yeah, we'll have his phone number and his email all ready for you so that you can be in touch with him. You can financially support him. You can be in prayer for him. So he's going to be returning, doing a much-needed work. And it's always, you know this, Marianne, when somebody indigenous, somebody from that area preaches and proclaims Christ, it has a profound impact because people can look and say, he's one of us, she's one of us. Us. They understand our culture. They're right here with us.
Well, the indigenous church in Africa is extremely important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. They use their local languages,
yes.
The heart languages of the people, and the people can relate easily to them.
That's right.
And they don't have any external connotation or mm-hmm. color. They amplify the cultural aspect of a worship, mm-hmm. like the praise, the dance, and everything.
Yeah.
We really, really need them. It's very, very important.
Yes, we do.
In our closing minute, how can we best pray for you and Sarah Jane and your ministry work ahead?
Yeah, I pray that we be humble. The people we are going to are not stupid people. And there is a work going on. How do we humble ourselves to go along with them and bring in all the package that God has given us here? I am a seminary student, but we are not bringing our head to the people. We want to go there with our heart.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
We don't want to frustrate people because we come from here or there. That's one. Two, pray for us for protection. This is a spiritual work.
Mm. Yes.
This is a spiritual work. Pray for that. And three, pray that we have the necessary fund. I will not be paid for the position. And guess what? We have 50 churches, Togo, Ghana, and Benin, and in France. And how many more will be planting? I want the whole nation, continent, to be filled up with Jesus Christ. So if God lays on your heart prayerfully to support our ministry, you can call the radio and pray for us and visit. Come and visit. Come and visit and plant a radio there.
Yes.
That's great.
All right. All this information will be available if you call the station, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends link. And Boniface, we're going to be praying you up and encouraging our listeners to be mindful, and we're going to call you at some point and get an update on God's working
that'll
in and
cool.
through you. So we'll look forward to that. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Boniface Tulasi with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.